Amen. Aren't you glad the Lord can do anything? Amen. Go in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians here this evening. And as Brother Shane's already mentioned, remember Wednesday night we will not be here in the sanctuary having service. But tomorrow night it gears up. Ready for Vacation Bible School. Let's be praying for that. All the teachers and all the children that will be coming. Do appreciate all the effort. We were out here Saturday working, and I just want to say as a pastor, you know, at times it's just good to acknowledge this. I do appreciate all the effort that is put into the Vacation Bible School. I know there's several things that we put effort in around here, and I know this is one of those things that kind of see it. You see it come together. So all the teachers, I know there's some that just put a lot of effort in this, and I know we're not looking for any glory or anything, but nevertheless, it does my heart good to see this. And I always enjoy Vacation Bible School. So looking forward to this week. I really am. We do love and appreciate you all. Let's be praying for the Vacation Bible School. Once again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I realized this morning I was a little lengthy preaching, but not as long as some preachers. I got one friend that's a minister. He averages an hour and 15 minutes twice on Sunday. And so I'm not quite there, and I don't plan on getting there. And I don't know if you'd let me get there. I don't know if somebody probably tap me on the shoulder eventually. Hey, I know my wife would. She'd say, come on, you got to tone that back a little bit. But I'm not going to be long here this evening. I want to preach to you. This is not really a fancy message, but it's kind of a message to challenge us a little bit. Do appreciate the anointing I felt this morning. You know, you don't always feel the anointing, and you know God's word is right, and it is always anointed. But every now and then, you just feel God confirm the word. And even for my own life this morning, just felt the confirmation of the scriptures in my own life. And I do appreciate what God did in your life. But tonight, I'm just going to preach on a simple thought on how to stay in the race. How to stay in the race. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm just going to read a few verses of scripture to you, starting in verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now I've got a confession to you to make. I have not ran a race in a long time. When I was younger, it was kind of, I don't even know why it was tempting at that time. I've kind of seen that rediscovered in my children. My little girl wants to race occasionally, and I can still beat her, but I let her win, and I think that's very nice, you know. But nevertheless, I know there'll come a point in time that she'll far outrun me. She's almost there right now. I wouldn't tell her that. But nevertheless, I just got longer legs, longer than what she has. So I have not ran a race in a long time. But I do, in studying for this, my mind did go back to high school. And it was required for us to take a class called strength training. I don't know if they still require that or not. But you did have to run. You had to, certain things, certain qualifications if you wanted to pass the class. And it was nothing too strenuous. But I do remember racing. And I don't know what it is about being a young teenage boy that you feel like you have something to prove, but you run with all of your might. I mean, it's almost as if you're going to get paid or you're going to be in the Olympics or something like that, but you're so competitive, you want to win. Well, I kind of want to just borrow from that competitiveness, and I know we're not to be competitive as Christians, but the Apostle Paul here is kind of trying to appeal to something, I guess being driven, having a sense of wanting to win. I know in our time in society there is this mentality that everybody should get a blue ribbon, you know. If you participate, then you should receive something. Everybody is a winner. Well, we also understand that cannot be the case in reality. In reality, in the world of sports or athletics, there's got to be somebody that is a winner. And that person that is often the winner is that man or that woman who has so disciplined themselves to put themselves in the position that they have more strength or more agility or whatever it is. They have practiced, they have sacrificed, they have ran, they have got up early, they have watched what they ate, all these different things in order to win. I think we probably best see that exemplified qualified in the Olympics, that if anybody ever watches the Olympics occasionally, there's something amazing as you watch some of those athletes as they have poured their lives into something for 4 years of sacrifice and learning new techniques and fundamentals and all those things. And that's why many times when you see one of those men or women, they lose something, instantly many of them begin to cry and they begin to weep. Why is that? Because they are so invested in that competition. They want to win. They just find it, and they're just driven by that idea of coming in first place, getting the gold medal. Well, let me put it this way this morning, and I will clarify this, but let me put it this way. Basically, what Paul is saying is that all of us should strive to be winners, and God wants winners on His side. Now, interesting thing about this, and please do hear what I am saying, there is a big, massive difference between the secular and the spiritual, because usually in the secular, there can only be one winner, right? Only one person can win the prize. But when it comes to the spiritual, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all can be winners. That is a great benefit of this. All of us can be winners, but that does not demean the fact that we should not put forth effort. You ought to run this race like you are the only one that can obtain it, because in reality, you are the only one that can obtain it. Nobody else can do it for you. Nobody else can pick you up and carry you, and nobody can run the race for you. Yes, we can all be winners, but only you can run the race for yourself. Only I can run the race for myself. And that's what we have to understand. I want to talk to you tonight about a subject that I am still trying to master. I am still asking God to help me. And I this may be one of those areas in life that many of us are striving and will strive for the rest of our lives. I want to talk to you about discipline. Discipline is one of those things that many of us, if you are honest, we need to work more at it. Now, I do admire, I meet men and women every now and then that have a unique sense of discipline about them. I mean, it could be physical. They have a great, great discipline about them, and they're not tempted to eat maybe like I'm tempted to eat. Or there's other people that act like they never get tired and they just never have any troubles or struggles, and they've learned a routine and to discipline themselves. Well, I want you to understand, when it comes to discipline and what this means, there are negative and positive aspects about this. What I mean by negative and positive is this. I mean, there's certain things that we should do, and there's other things that we should not do. So let me put it this way. If I'm going to discipline myself as a believer, there's some things I need to discipline myself to do these things, and there's some things that I should discipline myself not to do certain things. You understand that? We live by those two categories all the time. Things that we should do and things that we should not do. Now, I know there's a long list of things that we could talk about that we should do as a believer. What should we do as a discipline to stay in the race and to be effective and to stay and to be in this with all of our hearts? And I'm not going to list all those things, but you know in your own life if there's areas of discipline that you can work in. You know that. If it be spiritual or physical, you can be honest with yourself that you need to be disciplined in those areas. Now, the reason I'm talking about this, because I have definitely seen this in my generation. I can't speak about every generation, but I know who I have preached to in the years, and I know my peers, and I know what I came up under, what I went through as a young man and still go through as a young man in life. We live in a generation that is very casual about things, you know. It's kind of one of those things that really, when it comes to absolutes, when it comes to discipline, should we really put forth that much effort in something? And it's sad. I'm talking about my generation, and I'm sure, you know, if you're older than I, you may see this in your generation, and even though we can see all these things in all of them, but nevertheless, talking to what I have seen and my peers, is that there's just a casual spirit about reality. It's almost like certain people don't just live in reality. What is true and what is right? The reality is this, that you've got to have discipline in every area of life, which is this. You've got an occupation. You've got to make money. You've got bills you got to pay. You've got to take care of yourself, and you got to take care of your marriage and your children. And so if we're not careful and we allow this casual spirit to seep into our areas of life, I have learned this from experience. If you begin to hone in on one area of undiscipline in your life, and you think maybe you can put that in a compartment over here, undiscipline is something that can affect every area of your life. And that's why it's important to be defined as a disciplined person, both physically and spiritually. And once again, I'm preaching to the preacher here tonight as well. I don't want you to feel like I'm condemning you, because I will mention things that are convicting to me. But the Apostle Paul seen that as necessary. He said, look, I have yet to attain. He never felt like, and in his writings, he never felt like he got somewhere until he's about to die. He says, look, I realize I fought a good fight. He realized that he was there. But in his early writings and his epistles, his prison epistles, his early prison epistles, he would often say, I've yet to attain. And he talks about being engaged in something and reaching forth for a prize and, you know, reaching to the prize that is before him. I mean, it's not talking about being casual, but he's talking about arms outstretched. I mean, you can almost see the veins in his neck as he is reaching for the prize and the goal is before him. And brothers and sisters, I realize this. We live in a world that is casual, but we are not to be casual about our Christian experience. There ought to be this reaching about us. There ought to be this tenacity, this integrity, this effort in us that we're running with all of our might, that we want to get to a certain place. Now, once again, we have to often keep this cultivated, because it's easy to get casual in our society. And this is another thing we need to understand, that when it comes to discipline, this is one of those secret things about our hearts. Discipline starts on the inside, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but it's something on the inside that often shows up on the outside. It's this inward drive in us that we realize that there's something more than this life. So when it comes to this, let me just give you a verse real quick for reference. But 1 Timothy 4:7 says this, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So what am I reaching for? What is my efforts for? My efforts is to attain, yes, to get to heaven, yes, but also I need to exercise myself unto godliness. I need to do that in my life. You need to do that in your life. Are you reaching for a goal? Are you reaching and exercising to become more godly in your life? That is something that doesn't just happen, brothers and sisters. I know when you're saved that you're justified and you're forgiven and you're made new in Christ Jesus, but there's also a sense of becoming a godly man or a godly woman that comes with prayer and sacrifice and effort in your life. Look, I wish there was a button, as I often say, that's the instant godliness button, but it's not there. It is an effort in your life. If I'm going to become something in Jesus, if I'm going to make an impact in this world, if I'm going to leave behind something for my children and grandchildren, and Lord willing, for a church here 50 years from now, it's going to be because there were some men and women in this church that had put forth some effort to reach forward to a prize that is before them. So I'm going to give you some requirements to discipline. Once again, this is very convicting to me. This has cut me up all week. Amen. I'm up here and I needed God to pour in the oil and the wine upon me. Amen. I needed God to help me. I want to be more disciplined in my own life. Notice number one, discipline needs incentive. Notice what it says in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. That word incentive there means something that motivates and encourages us to do something. Very simple there. So the illustration that Paul is going to use here in our text is the fact of a human race. Now, I want you to kind of get this in your mind, because here when we're talking about this race, I've already made a lot of comments about this. We talk about this race. He's saying, look, you've got to run to obtain, which means, look, even though you're not earning your salvation, you've got to stay in the race. You've got to get somewhere. You got to stay motivated. You got to stay encouraged. And you know what that is, to stay motivated in this race with the Lord. It's very easy to get unmotivated if you're not careful. Now, here's one of my confessions. I know I could do better physically in exercise, and I know that. No doubt about it. I can't tell you how many times I've signed up at a gym. Amen. I hope I ain't the only one. I kind of feel lonely right now. New Year resolutions. Come on. I'm going to do better. All right? But how easy is it to get unmotivated? It doesn't take much, does it? Now, once again, I'm not up here giving you a health lesson. I'm definitely not doing that. I've yet to get that confidence. And we'll have a special class and have a special speaker come in for that one day. But nevertheless, I do understand this. Physically, I know how easy it is to become unmotivated. How easy it is to lose sight of the goal because you want more instant results in your life, right? You know, to be sure, I eat one salad and I'm skinny. Right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? You know, I'm supposed to, you know, be healthy for a month. You know, and I want a diet, you know, give me something quick, you know, give me something that's real fast and something that takes no effort. And man, have they not sold some different things over the years to promote a very quick, instead of a lifestyle change, you know, instead of a discipline, to be sure there's something magic somewhere that's going to change my life. Boy, they've made some money, right? No, reality is, if you're going to be healthy, and I'm not saying I ain't got no efforts here. I've got some secret things you don't know about. I'm trying to drink more water, you know. And I really try not to overeat. I know this ain't all about me, but I'm up here being transparent right now. I try not to overeat, and I really don't feel like I always eat all the time, but it's what I do eat when I do eat. You understand what I'm saying? And you know how tough it is. Come on now. That drive-thru's a lot easier than going in somewhere and paying $12, $25 for a salad, you know. It's a lot more motivating when you can get a cheeseburger for $2 sometimes. And, you know, and then less grocery shopping, you know. At least the things with preservatives in them, at least they last you 2 months. You know, that stuff at Whole Foods will die on you in 3 days. I mean, nothing in it. It's like you're looking around. It's like nothing to preserve it and all that. Now, so I understand there's something about our American culture that's not right. And I understand that, look, that doesn't mean you're going to hell for that. Neither am I. But I know it takes effort. And I know that I'm undisciplined at times in those areas. And I ask God to help me. And look, I just want to get off me for a minute here. I feel so lonely up here. But I will tell you this. Spiritually, you can become unmotivated as well. Now, I know I've said some things this morning that could apply in this area, but you've got to run to obtain. And it is a fact. We should not neglect the physical, but we do know the spiritual is important. It is eternal. But God has given us a body as well, because there's some people in the holiness movement that thinks you could care less about your physical body altogether. And I've watched them, and I've heard all sorts of excuses, and I'm not going to get into all of them, but I've heard some excuses before. They say, well, this thing's going to die anyhow, but you know, but still, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? And yet there's still something about this that I've got to serve God in this body, right? You know, it ain't like that. It ain't like there's just some way, you know, get a new body every Christmas or something from the Lord. I've got to make this one last a little while. I've got to let this one last. So what should I do? What is Paul talking about in this, when he's writing this to the Corinthians? He's saying, look, you've got to take that physical body in which you live in, and you've got to keep it in its proper perspective. You're not to worship yourself by no means, but realize that God has given you one body. And guess what? Even when you die, your body does go back to the ground, but you're going to be reunited with that body. There's something sacred about the body, and oftentimes that goes unpreached at times. And so there should be something about disciplines in our life. Do we let our body govern us? By no means, we should not. Because if you let your body always have its way, you'll never want to give up. You'll never want to get up. You probably always want to give up. And there's a lot of things about the physical body that you're not to let us have its way all the time. The spirit should motivate the outside. You should let the spiritual man united with the spirit of God to lead and to guide you. But yet we understand we do live in a physical body. There's some things we invite upon ourselves in this life that we need to be careful about. So, two reasons that people often reject disciplines. Number one, they'll say something like this: well, it restricts me if I'm a disciplined person. It restricts me. Now, if you've never heard that before, they really feel like if you're disciplined, or, you know, if you try to have any mastery over your body, you know, what you do, if there's any spiritual practices, if you fast or pray a certain time, get up a certain time, and you actually keep your body in its proper perspective and not letting the appetites of the flesh to govern your spiritual man, they'll feel like you're restricting yourself. You know, you do everything. Do what feels good to you is what the society would tell you. But notice this, actually that is a lie. Because discipline actually promotes freedom in your life. Let me give you a quick example. I do need your minds to follow this. And I try to type this up to where you could understand it, or I could present it to you. I love people who are able to sit down and just play an instrument just at nothing. I've met people like that. It's almost like you can take some music, you can sit in front of them, whatever it is, and they can just pick right up on it. Do you think they were just born with that talent? Or do you think there was some effort that would put forth to learn that? There's actually some discipline about that. So actually understand this, because when you put that music in front of them, it didn't matter what sheet of music it is or whatever it is, whatever their ability is to play a different instrument, whatever it is, they have disciplined themselves to learn something and to master that. And so they actually have a freedom because they have the ability to play whatever is put in front of them. And I'm actually restricted because I don't have the freedom to play that. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is this. Sometimes we are bound by inability, but they have found that through discipline and practice, they know how to, they are free to play and contribute through music. And that is the same with spiritual men and women. They have disciplined themselves, and somebody else is bound by their inability, but yet they have learned to exercise themselves unto godliness and exercise unto themselves unto knowing the voice of God and knowing the scriptures. You'd be surprised how many people complain about not knowing the Bible and they never read it. And they complain about not knowing the mind of God and they never pray. Do you understand what I am saying? It is important that we understand that true men and women of God did not get that way automatically. It was not just because a man is called or a woman is called that instantly they become this or that. No, there's disciplines in their life that is set forth that is going to help them become what they need to become. So with that said, the second thing is this. The second reason people do not have discipline, because they don't understand their prizes. Let me give you the second point here this evening. So we talked about discipline needs incentive. Number two, discipline needs restriction. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now the illustration is basically the same here. Paul is saying from the perspective of athletics that these people go through strict training, and this way that they have learned, they restricted themselves in all things. They are temperate in all things. What is the reason for this? Just for the sake of it? No, for a purpose, for an incentive, in order to win a prize. I've never trained to win a gold medal. Never. The most I've ever trained for was in baseball practice years ago to win a little trophy in the recreational department of our local county. But nevertheless, you still practice. These men are disciplining themselves. Now, interesting about this, and I'm trying not to take too much time here, but I do want to give you a quick background, because there was these certain games, and I think it was the Isthmian games there in Corinth, and it's actually interesting to read about that. That's what Paul is referring to. And if you ever study the book of Corinthians, you will come upon this in your study, because in Corinth it was like the Olympics that we have today. It happened every 2 years, and it was held 10 miles outside of Corinth. Many of the athletics came into Corinth to train for the games for a few months before them. There was a fierce competition. Each athlete was striving for this coveted crown, and really this crown was nothing but a laurel wreath. It was nothing really fancy about it. But what was interesting is to the man or the woman that would win this crown, hear this. Now this gives you a little more incentive, don't it? If you were in Corinth at this time, if you won this crown, the winner received that crown, but history also tells us they had a lifetime exempt from paying taxes. Man, it starts getting a little more, you know, I think I might train for these games here. They did not have to serve in the military, and this was a different time in the military as well. Tuition and fees for education were paid for. There were statues of themselves that would be erected along the road that led to the site of the games. And they would even become as heroes. And some would even believe that they became gods. But the real prize all started is when they won the race. They were given this little wreath there. And all these secular benefits came with it. But now let's look at the application to the believer. You in the same way must practice self-control to win a prize. But you're not striving to win a laurel wreath, an exemption from taxes, but to win a crown that is indestructible, that is eternal, reserved for you in the heavens, that fadeth not away. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is this. Why do we discipline ourselves physically and spiritually? Why is it that we put forth the effort not to get a little crown on your head, but a little laurel wreath? But God wants you to know there's a crown that is in heaven, that if you'll run the race, that if you'll stay in it, that if you'll sacrifice, that if you're faithful, that if you learn to control yourselves and and stay in the fight and live a sanctified life in obedience to the Lord, that there is a crown that fadeth not away. And you're not going to be exempt from taxes. You're going to be exempt from everything that's evil that ever existed. I know taxes can be frustrating in a sense in a society. I know that, and I don't even understand all of it. I thank the Lord for H&R Block. But I'll tell you this. You'll be exempt from suffering and pain and sin and destruction and all those things if you stay in the race. Now, the word here, temperate or self-controlled, it's a crucial word in this passage. It literally means strength within. It's a inner strength. We understand that. Thirdly, let me get you this third point, and we're going to move along and not take too much time here. So we know that discipline needs incentive, and we also understand that discipline needs restriction. You've got to have some self-control. You've got to stay in this. But thirdly, discipline needs direction, and that's what Paul says. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. What he is letting us know is this, is that he has a sense of direction. I preached about this morning. It's important to know where you are going. How do you know where you are going? You read the word and you pray. You go to church. You stay in. You discipline yourself. You know where you're going. You know what you're reaching for. You know what you're trying to obtain. This is not a man that is aimless. This is a man that is focused. He knows where he is going. I read this years ago, and I don't have this in my notes, but it just came to mind right then. I read it in a book by Ravi Zacharias, and I believe the name of the book is The Grand Weaver. I don't know the page. But I remember something unique about this book. He tells a story of a man that was in this race. He was an Olympian. And it's a true sort of modern story. I think it was in the 90s. But nevertheless, this man, he was sitting there. And what was unique about this man is that he did this without the support of his parents. I mean, he had sacrificed. He had labored. And his dad, he remember before letting his dad know, look, I'm going to be here racing. And I'm going to be over here racing. And he was a man that was known for his laser focus. He was able to hone in at the very get-go, at the very start of the race. He was able to hone in and stay focused. And he had learned something. He had learned that when you stay focused and don't worry about all that other stuff around you and the crowds, that you could do something. But he remembers it was the big race, the big day of his life. And he was sitting there at the tracks, and he did something that he never usually did. He didn't do this in the past. He learned to master this. But as he was there racing, he was lined up to race. All of a sudden, this thought came into his mind. And all of a sudden he said, I wonder if my dad is watching. Instantly, as he began to think about that, he became distracted. The gun goes off. He misses the first step. He lags behind, and he comes in like second or third place. But what he said, I had to learn to do something. He said, for henceforth, if I'm going to win the gold medal and get there, all those distractions, I know he had good reason to wonder if his dad's watching. He would love for his dad to see him there doing what he is doing, but he had to learn to stay focused. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today, and I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this, but I want you to encourage you that your Heavenly Father is watching. You ain't got to worry about that, but you've got to stay focused. If you're not careful, we're trying to run this race. We're trying to get to heaven. But if you let all the unnecessary things in this life come into your mind, it can hinder you in this race. Second illustration he uses here is actually interesting. He talks about boxing. Now, I'm not a boxer, but I have learned something about this. You ever heard of shadow boxing before? Anybody ever heard that term before? First time I heard about that, I was preaching in a prison, and I seen a guy over there punching at nothing. I was like, what are you doing? Should I come in here and talk to you or not? I didn't want to be on the other end of that. I didn't know he was waiting for somebody to come and get in front of him or not. He said, oh, I ain't this and that, man. I'm just shadow boxing. Shadow boxing is just beating the air. You'll always win. Thank you, Will. You should. Never hits back. The Apostle Paul is saying here that he gives another illustration. This time it's about boxing. But he's basically saying is that my punches have a purpose. And he's precise in his punching. He's not just beating the air. I'm not just sitting out here wasting my time. I've got a goal. I have a purpose. He wants to know. He's saying, look, I've got purpose in what I am doing. He uses this illustration as boxing. There's two things here we can build on. The first one I'm going to kind of build. It's not really here a whole lot. But I would like to just throw this out there. When you do punch, don't waste your punches. Make sure you're doing something effective. Make sure you're hitting the devil in the nose when you do something. Now, that's not too spiritual, is it? Hit him in the eye then. Just knock him out. If you're going to discipline yourself and fight the enemy, be effective at doing so. Know what you're doing. But Paul here is talking about beating something. He's talking about swinging at something. And this is really confusing here, but you've got to hear me. He instantly jumps into our final point here, talks about what he is really, he's not wasting his punches. What is he doing? What is he beating into subjection? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That phrase there, I keep under my body, is actually translated maybe more properly, I buffet my body. He's still using this boxing illustration. I beat my body. One translation would say, I bruise my body. I make it a slave. I bring it into subjection. Now, this is what Paul is saying. Brother Derek, are you saying that we should condone self-mutilation? By no means. If you come to church with two black eyes next week and say you've done that to yourself, we're going to a doctor. I'm going to say, why are you punching yourself? Something's wrong. But what he is talking about is, in a spiritual sense, he's keeping his body under subjection. He's not letting it win. He's not letting his appetites and his passions. He's basically saying, I buffet myself. I am literally taking care of my own body in the sense that I am in control of it. Now, once again, this is not warranting self-mutilation like some Catholics and monks actually have translated this to believe. They would actually whip themselves and flog themselves and deprive themselves. Basically, what Paul is saying is, just as an athlete trains his body and starts to possess his body, I so beat my body into subjection that it will serve my purposes and God's ultimate goals rather than me serve my senses, appetites, desires, and lust. That is what it is saying. It is okay to tell yourself no, brothers and sisters. All right? I know there is a physical side to being spiritual. And that's not letting your body rule every area of your life. Has God given us some good appetites? Yes, He has. There's nothing wrong with being a human. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the good gifts that God has given us. God has allowed us to have senses, and God has allowed us to have a tongue and taste buds. And we're able to enjoy food, and it is okay to eat and fellowship and occasionally feast and all these things. You're allowed even, and I know we're mixed company here, and I'm being very careful with this, but even sexuality is a good gift from God that must be kept in its proper form. These are good gifts that God has allowed us to have, but you've got to keep your body in subjection. If not, in this casual society, your body will try to tell you everything you should do. All right, I'm not going to be much longer, I promise. When you were a sinner, this is most likely how it happened. This is how kids live for most of their lives. Your body wants something, I deserve it, right? Can't tell you how many times I got to tell my kids no about something. You know, they want to eat candy all day long. They would love to eat ice cream all the time. And we got an ice cream truck man that just pesters our home. And he's a very good guy, and we really do try to support him. And I, honestly, just about every time he comes by, we buy ice cream. But I got a confession. All right, I probably shouldn't tell. We're sitting at the table the other day, me and my wife, maybe it was yesterday, and all of a sudden I hear that chime, you know, and it's Christmas music in July. And all of a sudden my wife says, and we both look at each other, so we just start making random noises so the kids would not hear it. And the kids thought it was a big gain and joined right in. We're over there, la, 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 and Chloe's like, la, and the kids, and I said, if somebody sees this, everybody think we're plumb crazy. And I'm peeking out the window, and here comes the ice cream man, and he goes extra slow past my house. So we survived that round of the ice cream. But you know what? My kids would eat ice cream all day long, right? You know, some of you want to eat ice cream all day long too. But you're old enough to understand you can't do it all day long. Can't do it. You know, it's just not good for you. So what do we do? Is it all right to eat the occasional ice cream? I hope you have some tonight if you hadn't had a bunch today. But it's also all right because to tell yourself no at times, right? Everybody with me, you understand what I'm saying? I don't sound too crazy, do I? We got to keep our bodies in subjection. I know sometimes that's difficult in a society that promotes nothing but fast food, and you may have to supplement with a vitamin here and a vitamin there. But don't let your body govern everything about you. What is the whole point behind this? Let me give you my last point. Paul says, why does he beat his body into subjection? Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want you to think about that. Do you want to be a castaway? Do you want to be one of those people that tells everybody else how to live, but yet you can't condone or live with your own self and be as you ought to be? That's hypocrisy. I don't want to be that way, do you? And also imagine if you live this all your life only to get to the end to be disqualified from the race. Do you think it's possible to be disqualified? Most of your commentaries right here would say that this doesn't mean that you can be disqualified from heaven. This is just saying you won't get your crown. No. There's something for us to understand that you have a free will. God loves you. He don't want you to miss heaven. So Paul says, and he warns the Corinthians, look, you've got to make sure you're doing everything you can to stay in the race. Use common sense, brothers and sisters. That's what I'm asking you to do. It's what I need to do. Use common sense in this world to stay disciplined, both physically and spiritually. God, help us to stay in the race. Stand to your feet, if you would. There's other things we could say. And I'm going to give you a Bible study. I don't do this often. I know there's some things. We've got to work on some VBS stuff, or I know I do after service here tonight. I'm not going to draw this out. But I encourage you for your own Bible study. I obviously didn't get here tonight. But after the Apostle Paul talks about being disqualified, after he does that, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he gives you a very vivid illustration of the children of Israel. And he basically, and there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he covers Exodus 12 through 17 and shows you that the children of Israel found themselves disqualified, that it is possible to get there. And he gives you warnings, and I don't have time. We're not going to get there tonight. We'll preach it another time. But he gives you step-by-step warnings saying, look, this was done to Israel for your example. This is what disqualified them. Don't you do it. That's what he's saying. Covers immorality, grumbling, ungratefulness. I don't want to be disqualified, do you? I want to stay in the race. Now, brothers and sisters, I know it'd be mighty funny to see some of us out there running in a race, but I want to let you know and reform you that you are in a race. You're running. Stay in it. Reach forward with all your might. God can help you to stay in it. Let's do that. Let's pray and ask God to be with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. God, I know there's more we could say, God, and you've already blessed us strongly in these altars today. But God, I want to stay in the race, Holy Ghost. I want to stay in the race. God, I realize that it is a possibility that I could or somebody else could be disqualified. God, if they did not keep that discipline about them, God, if they did not control and govern themselves, God, Jesus, let us have disciplines both physically and spiritually, times of prayer, times of reading. Let us do your will. Let us follow the mind of Christ in these last days. We love you, Holy Ghost. Do a mighty work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name, we love you and you thank you. Amen, amen. Brothers and sisters, stay in the race. Stay in the race. Amen. Keep in mind Vacation Bible School this week.